Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said, "Look, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor and will carry his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, a very good morning and a blessed and happy Advent. Does one say happy Advent? Perhaps a reflective Advent. So did Jeff prep you on all good things Adventine last week about, you know, Happy New Year and the Christian year beginning? No, I didn't think so. So anyway, Advent is the beginning of the Christian year. I should have just not written a new sermon and just re-preached my Fallon sermon from last week. I went out to Fallon last week. And, of course, you know, made much of, you know, the beginning of the Christian year is Advent, and we start the calendar all over again. And so I'd gone to Party City, which is right next to my store up in Northtown, cheap advertisement there. And so Party City's there, and they, of course, already have New Year's stuff set out. Of course, I mean, Christmas begins at Halloween, so why not? Why not New Year at Thanksgiving? And I bought some, you know, New Year's party horns, and I bought some hats, and I made Trudy wear a Happy New Year hat, and I wore a Happy New Year hat, and I got up there, and I went, "Happy New Year!" Boo! And I blew the horn and honked the horn, and there was this old guy sitting in the back of the church, and he had started snoozing already, and I hadn't even started preaching. Well, he was so startled, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. And I felt really terrible. I mean, I felt bad. I felt bad because there was someone sleeping in church, and I was glad that I had given them a rude awakening. But seriously, so don't sleep now. You need ushers with poker sticks. I do want to share with you a great honor. Jeff has asked me again to officiate morning prayer for Christmas. Christmas falls on Sunday this year, and our church will have celebrated the Christ Mass the evening before, and so Christmas Day, we will have one service at 9 o'clock, and it will be morning prayer, and it will be done more like lessons and carols. So there will be lots of carol singing and some prayers said, and then kind of a new twist on an old, less than politically correct idea. We'll see how many rice Christians we can get here, because TJ will be making some Indonesian goodies for snacks if you show up to morning prayer. If you don't know the story of rice Christians, it used to be that in the mission fields, people would come to hear and the preacher and say their prayers because they were given rice at the end of the service. So missionaries, in a politically incorrect fashion, would call them rice Christians. So here's a new take on that, an Asian offering us goodies to get us into church. So, Christmas. We have a Christmas window here, though it's not one of those fabulous windows with angels and with, you know, shepherds and donkeys and wise men and beautiful virgins and all of that. We don't have anything like that. It's a very small, unassuming window, which perhaps you might misunderstand and just miss altogether. It's the little rose up there. One would be tempted at first to think that our progenitors here were going to create windows for, you know, the holy seasons of the church, because we do have a crown, which is an Advent symbol, and then we have a rose, which is a Christmas symbol, and then it goes nowhere. So we have our Christmas window, a rose. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming, as seers of old have sung. It came a blossom bright amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night. It is the role of the prophet to foretell and not to predict. It is the role of the prophet to foretell the vision of the future as a possibility when it is lived in the embrace of the Spirit of God. It is not the role of the prophet to predict the certainties of a fixed universe as if an oracle or a parlor trick. By faith, the prophet is seized by the vision of the divine life and must foretell the vision which, for some, is good news, and which for others is bad news. Prophets always ask us, "What news do you hear?" Once upon a time, Isaiah, who in all probability was a member of the wealthy class of Jerusalem, went up to worship in the temple. He was like a good Episcopalian. He was attending services as expected, and as a good Episcopalian, was probably not expecting much, if you know what I mean. When all of a sudden things got very strange for Isaiah, got very strange very quickly. Suddenly, as we like to say, he was not in Kansas anymore, Toto. He had a vision, and in his vision the temple was filled with the presence of God and the high court of heaven, and the throne of God with all sorts and conditions of angels and archangels, seraphim, cherubim, and all the company of heaven, who forever sang a hymn to proclaim the glory of God's name. You know that hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We'll be singing it later. Needless to say, perhaps prophets don't predict. Needless to say, Isaiah's first words are, "Woe is me." But the angels help him get over his sense of spiritual unworthiness by applying a creative sort of hot coals therapy to Isaiah's lips, and his sin is forgiven and he's able to give voice. And the divine voice says to Isaiah, "I need someone to preach the word for me." And Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me." Isaiah's preaching is a mixed blessing depending upon to whom it is addressed. By faith, the prophet is seized by the vision of the divine life and must foretell the vision, which is for some good news and for others bad news. Today we read from the prophet Isaiah a vision of a world in which everything has been made topsy-turvy. A crazy world where dead, old, dry stumps shoot forth new life. And that new life is anointed with the Spirit and is gifted and shares those gifts with the dispossessed and the marginalized, who now have a fair break in life and are judged with equity. It's a crazy and impossible world. What does Isaiah say to us again? The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling all together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and children will play with snakes. Wow. Crazy, mixed up world, topsy-turvy. Enemies will get along. Craziness, where impossibility becomes the new possibility. It is the role of the prophet to foretell and not to predict. It is the role of the prophet to foretell the vision of the future as a possibility when life is lived in the embrace of the Spirit of God. Once upon a time, there was another prophet called by God, and his name was John. He was not an Episcopalian. He was more like a Baptist. Not a Southern Baptist, but like an old river primitive Baptist. John was a baptizer in the wilderness, and he looked like he was dressed for Burning Man, and he had dreads, and you could tell by his diet that he shopped at Whole Foods. And he was the kind of prophet that Isaiah spoke about, who was seized by the vision of the divine life and must foretell the vision of the future as a possibility when life is lived in the embrace of the Spirit of God. John has some good news to tell and some bad news to share, depending upon the reason one is listening. But John's vision is larger than just himself or his ministry. John preaches a crazy message again of a topsy-turvy world where class and inheritance count for nothing. A crazy world where all we hold dear and important are not on the divine priority list. A crazy world where even his prophetic ministry will be superseded. It's not all about John. where something more than repentance, more than changing direction, is about to happen. As Isaiah foretold, a life coming, life embraced and anointed by the Spirit of God, John foretells of this life too. And so John foretells of the one who doesn't simply baptize with water, but baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The life that brings the embrace, the baptism of wind and fire, and we know, living where we do, what happens when wind and fire get together. Remember the word for spirit? The word for wind. When wind and fire get together, things change very quickly. Old things are burned away, and new life and growth is made possible. Good news if one values new life. Bad news if one is found clinging on to old life. The prophets preach about worlds which are all mixed up and the unexpected happen. And here we face the world with our Advent expectations. What are we expecting? Who are we expecting? With Isaiah and John, are we expecting the life who is anointed with the Holy Spirit? Who will in turn baptize us with the Holy Spirit? Are we expecting the one who will make the world crazy, topsy-turvy, where enemies embrace? Are we expecting the one who will bring fire and burn away the old and make way for the new? It is the role of the prophet to foretell and not to predict. It is the role of the prophet to foretell the vision of the future as a possibility when life is lived in the embrace of the Spirit of God. It is not the role of the prophet to predict the certainties of a fixed universe as if an oracle or a parlor trick. By faith, the prophet is seized by the vision of the divine life and must foretell the vision which is for some good news and which for others is bad news. The prophet always asks us, "What news do you hear?" We turn our Advent eyes to the humble rose of our Christmas window. Do you hear Jesus? Yes, though only a whisper, we hear Jesus. Isaiah, 'twas foretold it, the rose I have in mind. With Mary we behold it, the Virgin Mother kind. To show God's love aright, she bore to us a Savior when half spent was the night. Amen.